Hello everyone, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So today I speak with my guest Akshara Lalwani. She is the founder of Communicate India. It's one of the fastest growing marketing and PR companies in India. She started this business from her bedroom and now in the eighth year employs over 100 people and has clients around the world and has won a number of awards. Amazing stuff. So in this exciting episode, she talks about her amazing journey, some of her favorite PR campaigns. You will also learn about client relationships and how she measures success and how she deals with crisis management. And finally, some interesting chat about Margaret Thatcher, sushi, and her love of pizza. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Akshara. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you, Neil, for having me.
Excellent. Please tell the listeners what you do.
I run a strategic marketing communications firm and moving towards more consulting. And that's what we do.
Excellent. And how did you get started?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. When I actually loved physics, chemistry, and biology, so I wanted to be a vet. And then I went to college and everyone was like, hey, you should do science and things like that. I was like, you know what? Let's not go with what everyone is conventionally going for, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go against the grain. Mm-hmm. And said, which is the course that people haven't been really utilizing, but you think that's really good. Mm-hmm. And, they came up as arts, bachelor's of arts and economics. And I read up about it and found it really interesting. Mm-hmm. That was it. And took up economics and did really well in it. Went into the conventional banking space, then kind of said that, hey, you know, this is again, don't do the cliched 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I can always come back to banking. I saw a lot of people who were saying, you know, oh, we can't get a KYC form done. And that was a time when mutual funds and you needed to know your customer. Mm-hmm. And I was being able to do it. And I started working when I was 16. So I said, hey, maybe I should step out, look at what alternatives are available. And then worked at a boutique public relations firm, very enterprising, and had a fabulous experience. And I said, you know what? This is what I want to do. It was just a calling. And then set up my own firm at the age of 23.
Mm-hmm. And how was that? What was the early days like then?
It was very interesting, right? I mean, there's a reason why they say it's like jumping off a cliff and assembling your parachute. It was literally that. And it was challenging. I was developing my leadership qualities. People weren't really ready to see whether they want to put their future in the hands of a startup. Mm-hmm. But I think somewhere inherently, and this is really strange because one of the other podcasts also spoke about this, is somewhere deep down as entrepreneurs, we know that there is something that we want to do differently, right? And I remember in school, there was this whole craze, and Neil, I don't know if you remember this, is white ink, mm-hmm. right? And everyone was just, you know, using it, and it was something that most schools was trending. And I said, hey, can we do some innovation? And, you know, you have these smiley erasers in India, like pink, blue, green. And I removed the cover of the smiley pink eraser, and I sort of put white ink on my desk and I rubbed the pink eraser on it and it turned lightish pink. And I said, you know what? I'm going to just remove the labels and sell this as a unique product of pink white ink, lime green white ink, and, blue white ink. So, I know the first year was challenging, but, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. I think it's that what makes the journey of an entrepreneur and a startup that interesting.
Because you started in your bedroom, right?
I did. I really did. It was about 9 months when I started hunting for an office space because, people would drop by and the bell would ring. It was getting really awkward interviewing people, you know, literally on the bed. Highly inappropriate a statement, but I'm saying, I was like, okay, if I have the ambition to scale up and, you know, I really need to think long-term, and and that's when I think it was in our first year we managed to get a small office in a residential building, And yeah, that's how it happened.
How long did it take you to get your first client?
Oh, we got it in the first month, actually. We got a client or two in the first month. So we were, we were pleasantly surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. And yeah, it's been a great journey. We switched about 7 offices in 7 years.
How fast are you actually growing then?
So we've sort of grown about 150% from last year to this year.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, how's that happened then? Why do you think that's happened then?
I think at the core of what we do is, I think a lot of what traditional agencies do is that they've kind of, how do I say this? It's not jaded. It's just that we're very passionate about what we do, right? We want to love coming to work every single day and making a difference. That too, and I think a lot of, I like what a lot of people believe and pessimists say. I mean, there are quite a few believers out there and they've given us a chance. And by the grace of God, we've delivered. And it's word of mouth, largely. Mm-hmm. And they've kind of entrusted us with a lot more than just one vertical of their business. And, you know, they like that innovation that's required in a highly cluttered market space, right? Everyone wants to come to India now.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Our growth rates, for sure. Other economies not having those kind of growth rates. I mean, the possibility that they've seen, that other brands have seen in their sector. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's now, not even recently, it's been the last 2 years that everyone wants to make India one of their key focus areas. It's a dynamic market.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any examples of like PR campaigns that you've done?
Absolutely. So just to give you a bit of an insight, there is, you know, it's always been a challenge for cycling enthusiasts in India, right? Because you don't have proper infrastructure or cycling tracks.
Yeah, that's true.
And but there are enthusiasts and they're like, hey, listen, I live in Mumbai and I live in Bangalore, but where the hell do I cycle? Right. And there was, you know, a very well-known brand called Giant. Mm-hmm. OK, and we basically said, hey, is there to create novelty around the aspiration of cycling, as well as that a bike is a great investment and it's great for your wellness. It's, a, you know, more responsible. We created a campaign called The Missing Giant. Mm-hmm. OK. So people generally say, you know how you have those lost and found sort of, you know, lost person, yeah. Can you find, you know, all of that. And people don't really do it for cycles because cycles are looked at traditionally as a poor man's, you know, way of commuting, which is not the case across the world. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, if you find this bike, we're going to reward you 30,000,
wow.
You know? Yeah. And it got so many eyeballs and there were so many influencers and there were, the government got involved and said, hey, you know, this is great. We want to support this. And how can we help? Can we put cops on bikes? And, you know, there was so much feedback and so much support we received. But it's about doing different things and also brands having the willingness to experiment, mm-hmm. also.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So how would you measure the success of that campaign then? Is it just the number of eyeballs then?
Not really. I mean, I think visibility is one thing, and that's the sort of line and balancing act we need to do, is that there are certain elements of marketing that are for visibility and for eyeballs. And then there are certain elements of campaigns which are ROI driven, and you need a combination of both, you know?
Excellent. And, excellent. Yeah, I've been reading that you did some sort of PR for a pizza company.
Oh, yes. This was actually in our first or second year called Francesco's Pizzeria. Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
So basically, I mean, it was a space where Domino's was really doing phenomenally well. Pizza Hut was also doing well. And this was a startup and didn't have the funds and wanted to do something different and needed that visibility, right? The founder, Mikhail, was really, really interesting. So we said, how do we create awareness? How do we really make them stand out without actually having to invest much? Because frugality is important, mm-hmm. right? So he had a friend from MIT and he said, hey, you know, he makes drones. So we said, why don't we, you know, sort of get a pizza delivered by the drone to a customer like a kilometer, kilometer and a half away. And we got it recorded, and Times of India said, oh my God, we were just telling a few of our journalist friends, hey, this is happening. And they carried it on the front page, and they're like, listen, Amazon, move on, you know.
It made the front page.
It made the front page. Wow. It says flying pizzas or something on those lines. I can send that link across to you. It was really interesting.
God, that perhaps could have gone wrong, perhaps. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have gone wrong in that PR campaign. Is that something you worry about?
It could, but I mean, it depends on how you say it, right? It's not like you're saying that every pizza is going to be delivered by the drone, but there is a pizza company called Francesco's Pizza looking at the option of drone delivery in the future.
Excellent. No, that's really good idea.
Yeah, and that's the time where people were experimenting. Obviously, there are concerns about drones, but I mean, version one is better than version none, right?
Mm-hmm. So for startups that are listening that don't have money, what advice would you give them? Get a drone or something? I don't know.
Remember the day that you decide to do a startup. Be that risk taker. Believe. I mean, if you really believe in your product and you believe that there is a great idea... take that plunge. I mean, risk is associated with everything, right? Including crossing the road.
Yeah, cool. And in terms of PR, in terms of companies, which is your sort of dream company that you would like to work with in an ideal world?
That's a fabulous question. A dream company I'd like to work with. Someone that who can help us really discover our full potential, take us to the next level. Someone who's doing something different. I actually really look up to Red Bull. I think they've done different things before anyone could actually do it. I think Richard Branson is very experimentative. Mm-hmm. I like that. So I think people who we can associate who can help us kind of go to the next level.
Mm. Oh, interesting. But what would you do if you disagree with a client? Let's say you pitched a drone idea to a client and they said, well, no thanks.
Okay. I mean, see, I think client relationships is so important, right? You can't force feed someone a idea. I think it is imperative to understand where your client is coming from and kind of work with them to sort of understand what do they envision for the brand? What's their long-term horizon? And how do they want to get there? You know, and propose a couple of ideas. And I'm sure maybe the first one we shot down, but I'm sure if we decide to amicably work together and make it work with the end goal in mind and build trust, I think I'm sure, you know, you'd find a common ground.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you mentioned social influencers that they must have changed the world of PR then.
Yes, to an extent, for sure. And I mean, like you said, right? I mean, they are important, but I think you need to be careful how you use influencer marketing.
And have you got any examples of how would you use that?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that a lot of customers are very well informed now. They are more discerning. They actually know when content is paid for. And that's actually more detrimental, right? That's that anyway comes down to hard selling, and that's not advisable. But actually finding an influencer who understands the brand, you know, and truly believes in it to a large extent. And I'll give you an example of this. With Johnson & Johnson, there's One Touch, which is the glucometer. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, we want to do an influencer campaign. And we said, you know, a glucometer is a subject that a caregiver or a patient or someone who's experienced it would be a better influencer. So what we did is not just reach out to health bloggers. We actually found out people who are caregivers for someone who uses a glucometer, you know? Mm-hmm. And that connection made the storytelling so much more powerful. And that's how we use influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. There has to be a genuineness associated with it.
Mm-hmm. It must be a very competitive industry, PR. You must be dealing with 20 other companies as well. How are you finding that?
I think whether it's PR, whether it's marketing, whether it's any sector, I think competition is going to be there. But I think it's a positive. I think it drives innovation.
Cool.
Excellent. And I think it pushes people to really push themselves. I'm all for competition, and there's something we can always learn from competitors.
And if someone wants to get into PR, what advice would you give them?
I think it's a myth that you have to study PR to come into PR. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the case. Yes, it's preferable, but I do think that it's a sector that has immense potential. I still do believe it's in a nascent stage in India. Mm-hmm. Even though there are several people who've been there for 20 years, come with an open mind, be willing to learn. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any like favorite PR campaigns that you've seen? Could be any company.
Favorite PR campaigns? Mm-hmm. There are actually quite a few. I do like the sort of genuineness that Dove has with regards to real women. Rather than using just conventional ambassadors. And I think just choosing real women and real issues that they have. That was innovative for the time that they entered the Indian market. So that's interesting. I think just it's to be a best version of you. So yeah, not sounding narcissistic, but I'm hoping with our fingers crossed that Communicate achieves what it set out to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You must do a lot of pitching then to clients. Can you give our listeners some advice, some sort of do's and don'ts?
Pitching to clients, some do's and don'ts. I think there's so much, right? It's like you're learning on the job. It's you're learning something every day, right? I mean, there's no there's no one size fits all, right? I think you need to figure out who you're meeting, understand, do your research. I think don't overpromise. I think the space is going through so much transition that it is harder to get organic content out there. So I think it's probably a good time to really surprise by over-delivering and under-promising. And I think rather than just going ahead and saying A, B, C, D, I think it's imperative to understand what the client is. Mm-hmm. It needs to be aligned to business objectives.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned leadership at the very start. I mean, what does leadership mean to you then? What is your leadership style?
That's something I'm actually discovering along the way. Maybe dishonest to say, what is my leadership style? I think it's a combination. I think in life, there's no black and white. There are shades of gray. I don't think it's kindness and ruthlessness. I think it's a blend of both. And it's someone said it's the Margaret Thatcher of the PR industry. I don't know actually how to take that.
The Iron Lady.
Yes. So that's what someone says, but with regards to me, I think I'm learning every day. And
How do you feel about that comparison?
It's interesting. I think
it's different.
It's different. Like I said, if you see the entire journey, mine's been different. So hell, why not this statement, right? And I've actually read a lot about her, and. Yeah. I do, she's different.
She's different, definitely different. Do you have a business mentor? Has anyone helped you on your journey?
Oh, lots of people. Mm. And I think even mentoring is subjective, right? It doesn't have to be an industry veteran per se, right? I think just people, even like our junior most talent inspires me. It teaches me different things. Whether you call that mentoring or not, looking at the world, traveling, and there's so much you can learn from. I mean, I do have mentors, and I think a lot of people from different parts have played a pivotal role in us reaching where we have.
What's the best advice that you've been given then?
Okay, that's interesting. You can't please everyone, not even chocolate can.
Okay. That's a very, yeah, that's an excellent piece of advice there. Okay. And yeah, you mentioned the team briefly. How big's the team? Because obviously you started this on your own in your bedroom.
Right. We've grown to between 121 and 125 people now, currently, and it's in our seventh year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been good, but we have big dreams, and touch wood, we're grateful for everything, and we're learning each day from our failures.
And obviously, as a female entrepreneur, what have you learned as an established female entrepreneur now?
One is, I mean, established is subjective, to be honest, and I'm really being this, I'm being really candid here and saying, I think there is, and I've read so much, is the fact that there's always so much you don't know. There's always so much you don't know. You need to be a constant learner. And the world's changing, and change is the only constant. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds philosophical, and we employ 90% women. I don't know if you know that, but it's the case. So I really do believe we are touching the lives of people who've been a part of Communicate in any way. Mm-hmm. We can't say we've changed their life, but we'd love to believe that they, you know, believe that we're equal, mm-hmm. we're empowered, we're encouraged. You know, they have higher levels of confidence, they can take risk, and they believe they deserve good things.
Are you living the dream then?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I'd like to show them that don't go by what you always see from the outside. There has been a lot of learning, a lot of failure along the way, and show them the realistic side and the human side to a female entrepreneurship. There are challenges, but you just kind of rise through them and makes you stronger.
Yeah. I mean, you must be most proud of the fact that, you know, 90% of the company is female.
I am proud about that. Someone said you took gender equality to the whole next level.
Okay.
I said it wasn't a conscious choice. But you know, I think it's great, and I'm happy because I hear so many people, you know, who've gone and studied further. I've had people who've come out of bad marriages because they were financially secure. I've had people whose parents wanted to get them married off, and they said, you know, they weren't confident of saying, you know, I want a career and I want to, you know, study further. And then, you know, a year down working with us, they're like, you know, I don't care what my family thinks. I'm going to follow my dream. And I can't say we're responsible for that, but I believe we influence that in some way. And that makes me really happy.
And what excites you most about what you do?
Oh my God, it's just amazing. I watched this movie and I keep saying it, and so many of my close friends are like fed up, and they're like, okay, we will watch this movie. It's called Jiro Loves Sushi. Okay, I don't know if you've seen it.
I've heard about it. It's about a guy who works in a sushi restaurant in Japan, right?
It is. Yeah. And he's been doing it for 75 years.
Okay, that's a long time.
75 years.
That's a lot of sushi.
Absolutely. And just the way he sources his ingredients. I mean, just the passion, the discipline. And he just wakes up every day with a new challenge and just putting the best version of him and his team out there. And I think... you know, one day we're doing a book launch, one day we're launching, you know, a stem cell product, or talking about clinical trials, politics, and simple. It's a Kshara Loves PR.
That's a new movie. who would play you in this movie?
Oh, who would play me in this movie? Good question. Maybe I'm going to think about that. Maybe we have sown a seed that I need to ponder over.
Okay. Going back to PR then, do you have to deal with like PR disasters then? So a company's come to you and said, right, can you help us with this?
Unfortunately, that's a space I can't talk much about.
Mm-hmm. Don't mention any. You don't have to mention any names.
There's several we've worked on, right? There was contemplating which one I can talk about because there's so much we've learned from that space as well. I think there was, sometimes issues happen, right? So like if you're in the hospitality space, you may have an issue and you may have a crisis, and a crisis could be in different formats, right? Whether someone gets injured at a theme park or someone, doesn't have a pleasant experience, the different levels of crisis, right? But brand damage could be exponential. And I think that's been a great learning curve for the brands and us is to really analyze what's the right way of dealing with a crisis. And there's numerous ones we've learned across sectors, and they're different approaches. Supreme Court and, to the front line, to politics, there's just so much. The service sector, corporate deception, employees going rogue. I mean, there's just so many scenarios, and I think that just makes us constantly learn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last few questions then. How do you relax? Do you have any like hobbies and interests?
Oh, absolutely. I love swimming. I'm a water baby.
Okay.
I wouldn't like to get up at 6 in the morning for anything other than the swim, but you say I swim and I'm like up. absolutely helps me unwind.
Okay. And how many lengths?
I'm a foodie.
How many lengths can you swim?
Oh, it's not that way. It's more like, hey, just, feeling the water, walking in the shallow, doing a few laps if I feel like, floating.
It's a not drowning. Okay. go on.
Also kind of catching your breath, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it's fun.
Breathing is important in swimming. You mentioned you're a foodie as well. What are your favorite foods and likes and dislikes?
Okay, listen. Healthy food people, please do not cuss me out. I adore a plain cheese, fluffy crust pizza, and I have ordered it for 14 days straight.
No way. Well, the same pizza from the same restaurant.
I even tried to buy the company. That's how crazy I am.
God, that's good PR. What is it about this pizza then?
I just think it's amazing. It's just, oh my God, if you do happen to come to Mumbai, I'm going to have one delivered to you.
Okay.
And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So write your name on the box.
Okay.
They put a smiley. They're a startup. Okay. Uh-huh. So I'm a bit biased towards startups. Uh-huh. People who've left their cushy corporate jobs and decided to make pizza for a living.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you that link, but oh my God, I've eaten their pizza 14 days straight. And if I did not have an intervention, I probably would be doing it till late.
Oh God. You didn't turn into a pizza then.
There was intervention. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay. In terms of food that you don't like.
Food that I don't like. Nothing really. I told you, I love experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people who doesn't mind change. So I like it. I think I like doing crazy things. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to try different foods, different restaurants. Yeah, but maybe insects. I was offered a worm to eat.
Yeah.
And then someone offered me a tequila, which is very, very famous, which has ants in it or something.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. It's got something in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's by crazy tourists. I think there was a blog saying that the must-haves or something in Thailand. I was insect tequila or something. And I was like,
Did you
I need a few. No, I didn't. Not yet.
Yes, okay.
Not yet.
you said that you like change, but a lot of people don't like change. Why do you think that is? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a human psychology thing, right? It's psychology. I mean, we're afraid of something we don't know. And Will Smith said something, and this is a video that I watched, and he said, you know, when he was skydiving, there was so much fear. His friends were like, yeah, let's go skydiving. And, you know, and he's like getting nightmares and jitters thinking about it the night before. And there's so much fear we build up about change. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who's gone skydiving, I know this from personal experience, is they say, okay, ready to jump off. 1, 2, and they push you off when it's 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Hold on when it's 3, right? And, you know, all that fear just dissipates and there's sheer bliss. So only if you've experienced it, you'll realize that it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. It's that fear that's holding you back. But once you've kind of taken the plunge, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Take the plunge. What advice would you give to first-time founders then? People are just setting out their careers in the startup world.
First time founders. Now this I need to be very, very careful about, right? I encourage people to follow their dream and follow their passion, but I think entrepreneurship is different. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest about that because a lot of people come and say, oh, mujhe mera khud ka business chalana. And I'm like, listen, it's not a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have, you know, you have that willpower to see it through, you know what you're going in. You know, don't expect the best, expect the worst. Mm-hmm. And be prepared for that. But are you really committed? Is this really what you want? Because a lot of people say they want it, but how badly do they really want it? Mm-hmm. It sounds very preachy, but it's true, you know. Mm-hmm. You really need to evaluate if entrepreneurship is meant for you. And they're different kind of entrepreneurs also, right?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Last question then, for people who want more information on you and your business, what must they do?
Write me an email and call me.
Send
You'll
pizza.
Be surprised. Send pizza. That's a great piece of advice. Send me pizza. Stage an intervention if need be, because that's when I know you really have my back.
And then go skydiving.
Yeah. Say, hey, let's do something crazy. Let's go ziplining or let's go skydiving. But I think the best thing is write to me, and I'd love to chat over a call. More than open to share anything.
Chara, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Neil, for having me.
Awesome stuff. Wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks again. Cheers. You have a lovely day ahead.
And you.
See
bye
you.
Bye, bye, bye. Thanks, Chara, for coming on the show today. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. I shall be back next week. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet @IndianStartupSH, or go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.